This Journey to a Dream podcast is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance.
Hello, I'm Beth Espy and welcome to Journey to a Dream. This series is all about talking to road racers and finding out specifically why they want to race here on the Isle of Man, a decision that very often takes months, if not years, in some cases. There's so much that goes into making it happen. We're going to hear now from Brendan Ryan. He's from the southeast of Ireland and popped up to the Manx Radio Studios when he was over a few weeks ago to do some laps of the TT course. He first told me what got him into racing in the first place.
My journey for Manx Grand Prix is a bit of a strange one. Probably wasn't really on my radar for a long time. Would have been around the Irish National Road scene, but I've never competed at Irish National Road. It's a bit of an anomaly that way as an Irish rider. I've not done Irish road racing, but would have been there as a mechanic. Would have helped out. A friend of mine would have borrowed my bike for some of the national roads, but it never really appealed to me. But I started coming over to TT, like 15 was my first year over TT. A friend of mine has a yacht and he said we'd sail over for the fun, and that didn't end well. I'd get seasick in the bath. So it was, yeah, it wasn't good. We came over, I flew over after, met them over here, and we had a great couple of days. And I've been back for TT pretty much every year since, TT or Grand Prix or both, actually. Did a parade lap here in 19. And after the parade lap, thought kind of, you know, I'll do the parade lap, that'd be a bit fun, you know, get out, ride to TT course, close roads, yeah, brilliant. And when I finished that parade lap, I kind of came back in and said, oh, I'd like to do this again. And I think the mission started in 19 to get to here and where we are now.
I love the fact you thought maybe the parade lap would get it out of your system.
Yeah, it wasn't until after the parade lap that I'd actually really looked into doing it, because I'd always thought, because I hadn't done Irish roads, I wouldn't be able to do it. And then kind of the more I looked into it, went, wait, now hold on, you know, if you live in the UK, you can't do Irish roads. Well, you can, but most people don't. So I said, how do we do this? There must be a way to do this. So looked into it, yeah, and here we are.
So not done the Irish road racing, obviously a firm interest in bikes, I'm guessing, from a very early age.
There's no bikes in my family. I'm a bit of an oddball that way. I'm the only one in the family with bikes, the only one who races, and definitely the only one here.
So where did it come from then?
Kind of met a guy in secondary school, I suppose, he always had bikes. And because I grew up on a farm, we had welders and stuff, so we could fix things when they're broken. And I'd done a bit of messing about on bikes for him. And then it kind of, yeah, there was one left in my shed for a while, and we kind of get looking at it, and, yeah, that, you know, I have an interest in mechanical things. Kind of spiraled from that, and then got a road bike to commute to work, and then that kind of escalated to bigger and faster road bikes, and then that got a bit scary and a few little bits and pieces. Ended up with a couple of bikes in the shed and said, yeah, we'll do a track day, you know, and kind of went from there. That was way back in 2003. It's been a long time.
So if there's no bikes in the family, what was the reaction from your close family to this?
Initially, yeah, my parents just, yeah, no bikes, no, not good. They struggled with me riding bikes on the road even as to commute, and then the conversation about going racing. But I suppose then racing became normalised because it was what Brendan did and because I've been doing it so long. But then to come over here was to come over to spectate, you know, they kind of understood that. But then, you know, to kind of announce, you know, the parade lap, that kind of raised a few eyebrows. And then basically didn't really have that much of a conversation with them, bar my wife. We spoke a lot about the parade lap, and we spoke a lot about entering the Manx Grand Prix before there was ever any paperwork sent in. It was we'd sat down and had a good chat about it, like. But my family, we didn't talk that lot much about it until I sent them an email saying, oh, by the way, I'm doing this. We would have watched TT in the house at home when we were kids. It would have been on TV, and it was always a thing that we would have watched as a family, even though it was, you know, it wouldn't have been particularly of one of those, like F1 was always on, and when the TT was on, we'd watch it. But it wasn't, it wouldn't have been on any of the family's radar to do it now, or to spectate even, you know. None of my family have been to the island before. My brother's been over. He holiday over here, going back a few years ago. Himself and his wife came over on holiday. But,
you know, looking out the window today, why wouldn't you come here on a holiday?
Yeah, it's fabulous, yeah. 2 foot of visibility.
Don't worry about that, it'll be fine at MGP. So there is that perception, and I know having not grown up in a bike-orientated family, there is still the perception that road racing is almost in an Irish person's blood, because it is, it's really important there.
It's very much an Irish thing, yeah. And like, in fairness, when I was going to the Irish road races as a mechanic, it felt like it was the most important thing in the world to most of the people there. To me, it was good fun, I enjoyed it. and the guys I was working with, and they were good fun, and I enjoyed being around them, and they were good riders, really good riders, and there was a great camaraderie in the paddock. It was good fun, like, and that would have been around the time Michael Sweeney would have been starting going, and Andy Farrell and all those guys who would have done well over here, like, they all would have been around that era starting off when I was in the paddock with a couple of guys from Faheen Club, Alan Dwyer and James Cooney and John Walsh down there. Those guys would have been, I kind of hung around with those. They kind of started circuit racing around the same time as I did, and James Cooney went on to use my 250 for a few of the roads, and I kind of helped him out a bit along the way. But I just enjoyed being around the lads. They were good fun, like, and there was always a bit of fun in the paddock, a few pints had in the pubs, and I was under no pressure other than to have the bikes right. It was a holiday for me, like. But the appeal of sending 7-8 bikes into a corner that's 5 foot wide didn't appeal to me, you know. Even on a short circuit, I'm very comfortable in qualifying when I'm on my own. It's when I'm most comfortable on a bike, when I'm fastest on a bike, when I have nobody near me. So that's the appeal to being on the island. It's 37 miles to yourself, you know. You're not racing anybody else. If somebody passes you, they've already got 10 seconds on you, wave bye-bye to them and let them go do their thing, and you do your thing. And, you know, that's what I love about this place, you know.
And I guess you've got a really unique insight, having been a mechanic and seen it from that point of view. And I wonder, how does that help, or does it help you at all when you're actually on the bike yourself, having that understanding of what the people around you, your team, are going through?
I do most of my own work anyway, so it's given me a good insight over the years, I suppose, as to what's needed to prepare a bike and the stuff that goes wrong that nobody expects to go wrong. It's always the most bizarre things that you kind of think, how did that happen? You know,
what's the most bizarre thing that's happened to you?
Not happened to me, but I remember one of James's bikes had a problem with the throttle sticking open, which was on a superbike. Actually, I remember that happened. That was a big one, and we had to figure out what was causing this. Like, and I didn't know that bike; it was his own, and so we had to take a bike apart we didn't know and just try see what was actually happening. But I'm glad I didn't have that experience. But yeah, it was an interesting one to find the problem and get it and try sort it and make sure it didn't happen again, you know.
For the MGP this year, obviously you do need a team of people around you. Who have you got with you?
It's a bit tricky at the minute. I have a couple of people that I have in mind, and they're just under pressure to just confirm at the minute, so that's all a little bit still up in the air. Yeah, that's a little bit up in the air still.
It's okay, you got loads of time.
It's, yeah, fine. 7 weeks.
It's fine. I just want to go back to 2019. You did that parade lap, and you thought, actually, I want to race the MGP for real. How did you find the process of entering, finding out what you needed to do, where the support would be?
In fairness, the MGP club are fantastic. My first port of call probably should have been the MGP club, which it wasn't. I kind of sat down and started. I read the regulations. In my later years racing, I've gotten very good at reading regulations because I've gotten caught by them a few times. So I now read them. I now know them. And it was kind of funny on the newcomers weekend. I think I was probably the only newcomer who had read them. Yeah, and when I read those, I kind of started to figure out what licenses I needed and what I needed to get the licenses and stuff like that. But I should have just gotten in contact with the club. The club are fantastic. Any query we have, yeah, it's brilliant. Got in contact with Heather in the Manchester Grand Prix office there. Monday or Tuesday to say I was coming over and could she arrange a rider coach, and yeah, we had a lap with one of the travelling marshals yesterday. It was, you know, and it's just arranged. They just want to encourage people. They want to help people any which way they can, and yeah, it's just a great support network, really.
And when did you find out that you actually had a place for the MGP?
It was in April, sometime in April, I think. I can remember where I was. I was
where
in the middle
you?
Of a field, and I got the email and then couldn't talk for an hour. But because of COVID and the changes in the class, because I'd originally in 2019 went off and bought a 400cc bike to do the MGP on top. This is the perfect bike for it. And then they changed the classes when it came back in. Came back last year, and the 400 class no longer was part of it. I was so distraught last year, and I kind of just sent off an email at the beginning of this year, just said, look, keep me in mind, and if they decide to bring back the 400 class, I've got one, it's there, it's ready. And I've got a couple of other bikes that I could have gotten ready, but then I got news 400s were back, and so I was like, yeah, brilliant, perfect. Yeah, I kind of, each way along the way, I kind of got the email to say I'd been accepted for Newcomers Weekend, and that was one of those kind of goosebump moments. I was kind of, is this actually really happening now? And then kind of until I had an entry, I hadn't an entry. Now I have an entry. But until I sat on Glencrutchery Road, I'm not here. I've kind of departmentalized everything, and it's until I'm starting, I'm not starting. You know, I kind of have to manage every little bit along the way. It's a bit of a weird thing, but yeah.
And you mentioned, obviously, before you made this decision, you and your wife had a really good talk about it. How did she take the fact that you'd been accepted?
She, all along, I felt that I was going to be accepted. I didn't. I kind of, I'm not so much pessimistic, but until I've been accepted, I'm not accepted. But it didn't stop me planning. I had everything in place, but it was just, I hadn't pulled the trigger to get everything really moving. But Sarah is, she's fantastic, really. Like, she does not like motorbikes at all. I understand why. She's lost a couple of close friends and that. But she's been to the island a couple of times with me, and really likes the island. Loves the island, man. Loves the festival feeling at TT. She's been for TT once and for the Manx Grand Prix in 19. Really loves being here. Enjoys it. She understands why I want to do it, but the risks, and she's just very aware of everything. And she was an insurance broker before, so you know, she nobody understands risk better than Sarah in life cover as well, Christ of all things. So yeah, she knows all this stuff. But she's just been brilliant.
That's incredible, really, isn't it, given her own personal feelings just not standing in your way. I suppose that's the epitome of true love in some ways, isn't it, just accepting that sometimes the person has to do what he has to do.
I think she held my head together when I got told last year wasn't happening. And
and you've got a very young family as well, so you're still at that stage where I'm guessing sleep is not something that happens a great deal.
Sleep is not good. No. Sometimes I enjoy going away racing so I can get a sleep. Head off in the racetrack, and Sarah gets quite jealous when I go away and sleep for a weekend. But the two kids, Oisín and Fiacra. Oisín's 3 and Fiacra's just 7 months now, so it's a busy house. But they're all coming over for Grand Prix, so it'll be fun.
How do you balance everything that you have to do from a race side with making sure that you're there for your family as well?
It's not easy. Days and nights are busy in our house. I'm gone early in the morning. I leave the house for work at 7 a.m. and I'm back half six in the evening. So it's kind of back straight into bedtime routine, and then kind of, you know, get smallies into bed and then try get out of the shed by 7 or 8 o'clock and try get something done, and then back into bed for early morning the following morning. And sometimes sleepless nights run into the middle of it as well. Yeah, it's not easy, but look, it gets done, you know, and the kids are getting older. It's easier as they get older, so you know, it's not bad.
How would you feel about them being interested in bikes?
I have no issue with them being interested in bikes. Bikes have been really good to me, and I know it's a weird thing to say, but I've got a really good network of friends that I've met through motorbikes, which I would never have otherwise met. And like, there are people who I could ring who will get me out of the biggest of holes just because they're mates, you know what I mean? And if they could make friends like I've made through bikes, happy days.
So it's great to have that support network. The other thing that you need to make this happen is money.
Yeah.
It's not a subject that many people like talking about, and from the people that I've spoken to so far, particularly when you're sort of starting out doing MGP for the first time, there seems to be a real reluctance to ask people to support you financially, because it's something that you enjoy doing, and I don't know whether you feel the same way, that you don't really even like asking for money for sponsorship, for support like that.
Yeah, I suppose I had a degree of support when I started racing first, but like, when I started racing first, racing was relatively affordable. Like, I used to get race entries for 45 and 50 euros, which was like, it was good. Like, and you got plenty of track time, and there was a couple of guys in the local pub who had helped me out, and I really appreciated their help at the time. But like, once things moved on a little bit, entries moved up, bikes changed, and just the running costs, it got to a point where I was getting a couple of quid off these guys who were paying for race entries 50, 60 quid or whatever, but it really wasn't touching the sides when it came to the bills. So I said, look, I felt bad, kind of, and these guys weren't getting a whole ton out of it, you know what I mean? So I said, look, I'm just going to have to fund this myself if I want to do it. And at the end of the day, it was my hobby, it was my fun, like, and it'd be like asking somebody that you knew for 50 quid so you could go to the pub, you know? That's what I felt like. Undoubtedly, coming over to the Manx Grand Prix is a very different prospect money-wise, because it's just such a big event and such a big procedure to get everything in place lined up to do it. Like, one of those things. I haven't added up the bills. I don't really want to.
I was just going to ask that question.
Yeah, no. I bring the family over as well, so it's great to have them there. And I wanted them to come over. I wanted to have my wife and kids here. They're just everything to me as well. But my brother and his wife and a couple of their kids are coming over as well. But we have a house rented, so that's really a big expense. But it's worth it to have those people around me. And I'll probably end up sleeping in the truck in the paddock, but like it's still, they'll be there. I know they're close by. It's reasonable. Like entry fees are okay. Ferry costs are actually better than I thought as well. So like it's just about having. I'm lucky to a degree that the bike that I have, the little 400 Honda, came with a whole load of spares. So I've got enough stuff to make lots of things. So I'll have two spare engines with me that, you know, if I was running a modern bike, there's no way I could afford to do that, you know. But I had enough gear to put this together, so I have a lot of gear, a lot of spares that's just not cost me a lot of money, really. But if I, that's kind of why I was so downhearted last year when they'd gotten rid of the 400s, because I knew there's no which way I could afford to go start again to build a 600, or if to go buy a Super Twin and have that level of spares for it, you know. Hopefully I'll not need any of them, but it's the Isle of Man, you never know what you need here. Like,
and it's really interesting that's talking to many racers coming over here to race, that's almost like the annual holiday.
It probably won't be that much of a holiday. We're here till Wednesday after, so it'll be a holiday once it's over and done with. It's kind of more that we can't get ferries home, but we'll it'll be nice to have some time when it's all over and done with. We've done a bit of holidaying in the race truck last year. Actually, we just went off to campsite with the kids in the race truck, and it's pull into a campsite with a 7.5-ton race truck, you get some funny looks. But yeah, we don't mind. Like,
That's going to be brilliant when the kids get older, though, because walking around the paddock, there is such a family feel. And you see the kids all running around, and they grow up in that environment, and there really is that sense of belonging, isn't there?
Yeah. Like, it's a great, everybody looks after everybody, really. It is, it's just a friendly place. Like, and that's probably one of the things that you take away, especially from road racing and the Irish national scene, very much so. Like, like kids who grow up in that paddock, it's probably one of the best places you could ever grow up. Like, everybody nearly turns into your parents when you're I've just seen it as an external person at the time. I had no kids at the time when I was at that. Like, but yeah, you just see it as being, it's a good place to be. Like,
and what is the day job for you?
I work as I'm a qualified electrician, but I work in power networks, overhead power networks, kind of installation of underground services and overhead networks and stuff. So,
and again, sort of juggling that alongside doing everything else. I mean, I'm not surprised you're not sleeping.
I think if I actually had a day of sleep, I wouldn't know what to do with it now. It's work is busy as well. Yeah, but I enjoy it. I kind of changed my role recently to a more manual labour kind of based thing, because I'm happier being out and about and in fresh air and doing a good bit of driving lately. But it's good. Yeah,
and I suppose being physical as well is really important, because that's the other thing we tend to forget, that actually to wrestle a bike around 37.75 miles, you do need to have a degree of fitness.
Yeah, it's a long way around here. I've been trying to do a bit, but it's difficult to get the time. I'm lucky in that I live in a really nice part of the world, and there's quite a big river just beside where I live, and there used to be a towpath for horses and barges on it, so I cycle that whenever I get a chance. And it's lovely. It's always, and there's no cars, and it's relatively flat, but it's still nice, you know what I mean? It's kind of a semi off road, but yeah, whenever I get a chance, I can. Whenever I get the time, I can, and I do a bit of that. But definitely the physical bit in work helps. It helps. I was office based up until Christmas, and literally changed because of that, because I just wasn't getting enough exercise, really. It's kind of a strange reason to change job. But
so, as we've been speaking, you have been over for a couple of days. Got any ideas how many laps you've done?
We got 5 in yesterday. We got in yesterday afternoon, so we got 3 in when we got in straight away, then did 1 with Travel Immersion, then we did 1 late last night, just before it got dark.
And is that in a car, on the bike?
Hire a car.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's actually nice in the car, because you can chat around through it, and it's good that it's been relatively close to TT, because there's still plenty of tire marks around, so it's nice.
As yet, have you got any parts of the course where you think, I love that?
How is there not a part of the course? Yeah, I think from the parade lap, I think even Quarry Bend sticks out to me. I just like the flow of that. It's so fast, and it's so just a change of direction there. Yeah, I quite like that. The run through Glen Helen reminds me of a few sections of road at home. Like, I've kind of been doing that recently when I've been driving around the car, and I've kind of been picking out corners on roads that I travel day to day with work and everywhere, and I go, oh, that looks like a corner on the TT course. And there's a couple that stick out. There's one that's just like the 13th on my way to New Ross. I can picture that.
And in terms of what success in this year's MGP is for you, what would that look like?
Success. So far I'm counting it as a success already. Getting here is a success. Getting to the start line, as we were chatting last night, everything has been incremental, and it's step by step. So like, my first goal is to get to the start line, because that's not, as far as I'm concerned, that's not a given yet. I've just still got a good bit to do. Finish the newcomer's lap. That's because that messes everything up if you don't do that, and then we'll see from there. It would be great to get to a finish at the end of the race and put the bike in the van and go for a beer, but yeah, beyond that I have no expectations. Everybody has things they'd like to do, but you can't make assumptions here. It's just one of these places where fiddly things just go wrong, and like, hopefully none of those, we'll hopefully have all those boxes ticked after the end of practice.
And have you been given any advice?
We've plenty of support from the Manchester Grand Prix Club. The newcomers weekend, well, we had walked through pit lane and all that. That was really, really good, and that's always a great help. Like, and especially we had a couple of guys with plenty of experience, like Colin Croft was there, and he was talking about pit lane speed limits and stuff like that, and Andy Grimshaw did some bike setup bits and pieces with us as well, and like, all that's been a great help. You know, there's a couple of little bits. You can't beat the experience of the guys who have done it, because you can make assumptions that, oh, this will work, and then I had a question about fuel filler caps and stuff like that, and Colin Croft said, no, use a standard one. Why take the lock out of it? You can open it with a screwdriver and you just slam it closed. You can't lose it. Whereas I've been thinking about getting the screw on ones, and yeah, and just when he said it just made perfect sense. And like, so yeah, that's what I've done, you know. It's little bits of information like that that make the whole thing come together, you know.
And will you be back over before the MGP now?
No, well, I will, because I have to bring my truck over a week before. I have to bring my truck over on the 13th, but between now and then I literally haven't time. I have every weekend I have something on. That's why I'm here midweek. I planned to come over on the 22nd of July, but the guy who I used to spanner for is actually getting married, so I kind of have to show up.
Rude, yeah.
Oh well, look, he's dodged that bullet for long enough, so I kind of have to make sure he does it this time. But no, it's just busy, yeah. So yeah, no, this is it. Like, but I'm actually quite happy. After even, you know, the couple of laps we've done, I'm at the point where I kind of need to do it on a bike now. I would have had a good knowledge from coming over from TT and all that, from doing all the laps on the road bike and just being around. And the course knowledge is relatively good, but I just need to get going. And I'm feeling at that point now, but looking forward to it.
And you just need to secure your team. Promise me you're going to do that.
Yeah, I need to do that. Yeah, well, I've texted them and emailed some of them last week and trying to nail some of them down. But yeah, well, we'll get there, yeah.
If I asked you to put into words why you want to do this, what is it specifically about racing here in the Isle of Man? What's it all about? Would you be able to do that?
I don't know, can anybody do that? I've been thinking about this because I've been asked it a couple of times. I think the only way I can describe it is I can describe what it feels like when I was told I couldn't do it, if that makes sense. And I sulked for about 6 months, because that was just, I was devastated. And I don't know how that translates into how I feel about, but I know what it feels like if I've been told I can't do it. I'm really looking forward to it. Like, it's the most iconic place in the world. The island itself is absolutely fabulous. We were driving around yesterday and the scenery, and just, it's just something else. And the enthusiasm for racing here among all the club officials, amongst the general public here, it's just amazing. Like, so why wouldn't you want to race here? It's just, it is. And 37 miles of a road one way with somebody with a flag to tell you there's nothing around the corner on your own, what isn't there to love?
Brendan, thank you so much for talking to us. We cannot wait to see you on that start line and catch up with how you do.
Cheers, Beth. Thanks a million.
Lovely to catch up with Brendan Ryan when he was over on the Isle of Man a few weeks ago. If you'd like to listen to more Journey to a Dream stories, you can find the podcast series at manxradio.com. And if you've got a story you'd like to tell yourself, I would love to hear it. BethSB@manxradio.com is the best email address. You can find that link on the podcast page. And so until next time, bye-bye. This Journey to a Dream podcast has been brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. Visit their website, kawasaki-insurance.co.uk, to find out how you can get covered.